Welcome to the 1 John Bible Study Podcast, where we'll dive into the book of 1 John verse by verse to see what truths God is communicating to us. This podcast is brought to you by Brian Androsian from New City Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. For more information about New City, visit newcityrdu.com, or you can follow us on all social media platforms at newcityrdu. Thanks for joining us. Now let's jump into 1 John.
Well, welcome back to our Bible study through the book of 1 John. Today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Just a recap from last week. Last week we talked about these false and dangerous teachings that John is referring to regarding Jesus, and how today we can easily fall into these false beliefs about Jesus, and we do that by adding or taking anything away from who he is. So if we start looking at Jesus and adding things to him to make him kind of fit into our idea of a savior, our idea of Jesus, or if we take away things that we don't necessarily like, then we start getting into this territory of false and dangerous teachings. And we talked about this idea of how Jesus plus nothing equals everything, that Jesus is sufficient on his own, that Jesus is everything the way he is, and that we don't need to add or take anything away from him. And so John continues in chapter 4, starting in verse 7, and he says this. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." So John is telling his readers here to love one another because that's who God is, that love is the evidence that a person knows God and follows him. However, for this to be true, then the opposite must be true, and that's what he references in the next verse. So he continues in verse 8. It says, the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So John is making a pretty serious statement here. He's telling them that those that don't love don't know God. That he's not saying you can love God and not love people, but he's saying those of you that don't love don't know God. That God's very nature is love, so to not love is to not actually be experiencing who God is. And this isn't theoretical or just an idea. This is true and can be hard to realize for some, but John is telling them that those that aren't loving have not experienced Christ for who he is, that they haven't experienced the true Jesus if they're not willing to show that love to somebody else. Because you can't experience Christ's love and then not have love towards others. You can't experience Jesus's actual love and then not want to pass that along to somebody else, at least attempt to pass that along to somebody else. And how did God show his love for us? And John addresses that in the next verse. So he continues in verse 9. It says, "God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him." So John is reminding his readers of what they already know, that God showed his love, or how God showed his love to us, that God revealed his love to us by sending his one and only Son to die for our sins. And if we attempt to wrap our minds around the sacrifice that Jesus was for us, it's impossible for us not to want to show that love to others. And this is what John's saying. He's saying, if you truly understand what Jesus did, if you truly understand what God did in sending his Son, then you can't understand that and not want to show that love to somebody else. You can't truly know what that love means if you want to just keep it for yourself and not show love to anybody else. Then he continues in verse 10 and 11. He says, "Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another." So John is telling us that love is not defined by how we love God. The love that we have for God could not exist if he didn't love us first. That God committed the greatest act of love by sending Jesus to die for us, and in this act of love, it opens up the door for us to love him in return. However, that initial act of love was required first. That initial act of love of sending his Son to die for us was required for us to be able to experience love and be able to show love to him and to others. He committed the greatest act of love. And it's nothing that we did, but it's everything that he did. It's nothing that we had a part of or nothing that we helped control or initiate, but it's everything that he did for us, even though it was completely undeserved. That because God loved us in this way, because he gave the ultimate sacrifice, we must love others. We have to. It's as we talked about this throughout this entire book, it's the mark of a believer that we can't claim to love God if we're not willing to love others, if we're not showing love to other people. We have to show that we've that we have to show that love that we've experienced to others if we truly call ourselves followers of Jesus. If we truly want to say that we've experienced Jesus' love, we have to be willing to show it to other people. And then John continues in verses 12 and 13. He says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit." So it's interesting that John makes the point that no one has ever seen God. And like what John is telling us is that while no one has seen God outside of, obviously, outside of seeing Jesus, the believer's love for one another demonstrates that the unseen God lives in them. This is how we see God. We see God through experiencing his love and helping others experience his love through us. That love is the evidence of God. John is specifically interested in our obligation to love one another, not just for the sake of love, not just for the sake of doing something kind, but because it's the evidence of the living God. Because a believer showing love is the evidence of God's love. It's the evidence that Christ lives in us. Loving others is our witness to who Christ is. And this is what John is telling us. Then he continues in verse 14. He says, "And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know that, and we have come to know and to believe that love, the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him." So the more we know God, the more we learn about and experience him, the more his love comes alive in us. The closer we get to God, the more we experience his love and the more we understand it. And this is how this works. And this is what John is saying here is that those that have seen Jesus have experienced his love. And the more we experience God, the more his love comes to life. That the more we learn about God, the more we experience him, the closer we get to him, the more of his love we experience and the more of his love that we realize. Then he continues in verse 17. He says, "In this, love is made complete with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love." And so John here, he's echoing what he said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, when he told us that we are to continue in him so that we may be confident and unashamed of him or before him at his coming. If believers remain in God's love and remain in him, then we have nothing to fear on judgment day. We have nothing to fear when going before the Lord. We can have confidence in going before the Lord because we've experienced his love and his grace. So John is saying, because you experienced Jesus, because you've experienced God's love, that you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry about when going before the Lord because you've experienced his love and his grace. And then he continues this thought in verse 19. He says, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister." So John concludes this chapter with a pretty blunt statement that if we can't love those which we've seen, how can we claim to love God whom we have not seen? If we can't love people that we've seen, that we have a relationship with, that we've talked to face to face, that we've seen in the flesh, that we've experienced, if we can't love someone even with all that evidence of who they are, then how can we claim to love God who we haven't seen in the flesh? How can we claim to love God if we can't even love somebody who's standing right in front of us? We can't claim to love God while hating somebody else, regardless of who that person is. We can love because he first loved us. We can love because he actually showed us what love is in sending his son to die for us, that God gave us the ability to love. And if we ignore that responsibility and don't show love to others, we can't claim that we love God. We can't claim that we know God and that we love him if we're not showing love to other people. And if we're being honest, this can be easier said than done at times. But I think we forget that nobody said it would be easy to follow Jesus. Nobody said that this would be an easy thing, that following Jesus would be no big deal and that we could just do it without any thought. It's not meant to be something that doesn't take work. In studying this passage, I love what N.T. Wright says about this passage. It's a little bit long, this quote, but I'm going to read it, and I think it really helps illustrate what we're talking about here. He says this, quote, if God revealed himself in the world by turning his love into flesh and blood, when we do the same, we should realize that we are accomplishing God's love. Once you learn to give yourself to others as God gave himself to us, there is nothing to be afraid of anymore, just a completed circle of love. No doubt this, like some other things John says, leaves us breathless, wondering if we will ever attain that simplicity of faith and life. Now, I love this part. He says, but did we ever expect that having a true living God come to make his dwelling with us, inviting us to make our dwelling with him, would be a kind of easygoing, half-hearted hobby religion? God has taken us utterly seriously. How can we not do the same with him? So yes, these things we're talking about are hard. These things we're talking about are difficult. When we talk about loving people, regardless of what, if they reciprocate it to you, regardless of what they've done, that's an easy thing to say, but it's not an easy thing to do. But what we're seeing here is that God takes us incredibly seriously, and that it's serious business, this relationship with Jesus. And that was never expected to be this easy thing that just comes naturally, that's no big deal. But as we see that, if God is taking us this seriously by showing this love to us, by sending his son for us, to die for us, then how can we not take him seriously in return? How can we not put in the work? How can we not show love to others even when it's difficult? And so as we wrap up chapter 4, this is a question I want us to think about as we wrap up this section, and that's this. Who is someone that you struggle to love? Who is someone that's hard for you to love? And when I talk about this, not just a theoretical idea of people that believe this kind of thing or people that do this kind of thing, but what is an actual name of someone in your life that's difficult to love? Actually think about this person by name, not just as a theoretical idea, but actually this specific person. What is it that makes them difficult to love? Why have you struggled to love them? Write that person's name down and pray for them. Pray for that name specifically, even if it's painful to do so. You know, sometimes we talk about people that are hard to love and we just think of people that are kind of jerks or people that are difficult or that don't show that love in return. But what if we take it even a step further and a bunch of steps further? We talk about people who have committed things like abuse and people have done things to us that truly make them seemingly impossible to love. Take that person's name, write that person's name down and pray for them specifically. Not just that you'd become a more loving person in general, not just praying that we'd be more loving in general, but that you'd love this specific person more. Even though they don't deserve it, even though they haven't done anything to earn it, even though they may not ever reciprocate it, but pray that God will help us love this person in ways that include the whatever boundaries necessary, but that God would help us love this person and forgive and move into a place to love them the way that he loves them and that he loves us. Because fact of the matter is, you don't deserve God's love either, and neither do I, and neither do any of us. All of us have done things that have caused us to not deserve the love that God offers to us, to not deserve to have Jesus come and die for our sins. However, even though we don't deserve it, even though we prove time and time again, and myself included, even though I prove time and time again that I don't deserve it, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus offers forgiveness, that he offers grace, that he asks you over and over to come to him, and he offers forgiveness. His grace and his love is offered, but it's our responsibility to show that love to others, even when they don't deserve it either, even when they don't deserve it just like we don't. As Christians, I think we can easily come to peace with the fact that some people are hard to love and just accept the fact that we either can't love them or we'll claim that we love them even though we don't show it whatsoever and we just kind of say like we love everybody but not actually showing love to a specific person that's difficult. And I think we can come to peace with that. We can just be like, well, some people are easy to love, some people are hard. I'll kind of love you from afar in the sense that I claim I love you but not really. Actually, I don't really actually love you. I just kind of say that I do to make me feel good. But we know that God shows his grace to everybody. And that and yes, we won't always, and we won't really ever be perfect in this area in loving in the way that God does. But he does call us to strive to it. He does call us to try. He does call us to love people the way that he loves us. And as we read in 1 John, as we're reading about loving people, as we're reading about loving your brother and sister, we don't see any concessions. You know, in other words, we don't see things like love when it's convenient, or love except for when someone does this, or love to a certain point, but then or love only if it's reciprocated, or anything like that. He didn't tell us to love unless it feels draining, love unless it's too hard, or anything. He tells us to love our brother and sister as Christ loved us. He talks about loving people, and that when we don't, we're actively hiding God's love from them. So as we wrap up this chapter, as we're talking about love, and we're talking about love to the extent that can be pretty difficult to wrap our heads around at times, and pretty difficult to actually implement, this is what I want us to kind of take away from this section, this end of chapter 4. And hopefully if we keep this in mind, myself included, it'll help us, it'll be an encouragement as we're dealing with people that are hard to love and kind of working through what it looks like to love people the way that Christ loved us. And that's this, it's that our love for God is revealed in how we love others. Our love for God, how much we love God, is revealed, is seen in our love for others. That if we're not loving others, as we've talked about multiple times, if we're not being loving, then we can't claim that we love God. But if I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else, if I have someone in mind that's difficult to love, if I try and keep in mind that me loving them, it reveals how much I love God. That if I'm showing love to them, that reveals my love for God. And if I don't, that shows me and shows them, but it really shows me that maybe I don't really have this true love for God that I think that I do. It's plain as day in these verses. We can't claim to love God while withholding love from others. How we think or how we love and think of God is revealed in how we act toward others. Are we showing them love even when it's difficult? Are we showing them love even when it's hard, even when they don't deserve it, even when they prove that they don't deserve it, even when it's not reciprocated? Are we showing mercy and compassion to those that don't deserve it? Or are we treating people the way they deserve? Are we treating people the way they deserve, which we can often do, which I often do as well, feel like this person deserves to be treated this way, so this is the way I'm going to treat them. But in reality, do we expect God to treat us with grace and understanding, or do we expect God to treat us the way we deserve? And none of us want to be treated the way we deserve by God. None of us, what we deserve is not grace. What we deserve is condemnation. What we deserve is judgment. No one wants to be treated the way they deserve. But how quick are we to treat others the way that we feel they deserve? Instead, let's treat others the way that God treats us, with grace and understanding and love above all else. Our love for God is revealed in how we love others. So if we keep that in mind, even when you're dealing with people that are difficult or dealing with people that are hard to love, that the way I love them will show them and will show me how much I love God. And if I'm more than happy to withhold love from them, if I'm fine with the fact that I'm not growing in love for them, then I need to come to terms with the fact that I'm really not growing in love towards God. That my love for God isn't growing. If my love for people isn't growing, then my love for God's not. Because what he's saying is his love is revealed through believers, through us. And so as you're going about your week, as we're dealing with these people that are difficult and dealing with people that are hard to love, just remember that our love for God is revealed in how we love others. And that's what we see from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21.
Thanks again for joining us for this Bible study. New City Church is a non-denominational church in Raleigh, North Carolina. For more information, please visit newcityrdu.com, or you can follow us on all social media platforms at newcityrdu.